Amen. Buckle your seats. We're about to go for a ride tonight. Amen. Anybody ready for a ride tonight? Sound like somebody is ready for a ride tonight. Amen. Amen. The microphone sound good. Thank you for that sound. I don't have to push my voice, so I appreciate that. Just keep it right there. Amen. The word tonight is going to be coming from Jonah, chapter 1, verses 17. Chapter 1, verse 17 through chapter 2, verse 10. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17 through chapter 2, verse 10. And it speaks, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought me up. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. O Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came into thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this day. We honor you. We reverence you, O God, for allowing us to see another day. Lord, we thank you for bringing us to this house, O God. Lord, we come with an expectation, Lord. We come with anticipation, O God, that you will move, O God. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Lord, I pray right now that you would anoint these lips of clay. Oh God, as I decrease, I pray that you will increase. Speak to me, speak through me, speak for me, and speak from me. And I give you praise in this house today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Tonight I want to talk to you from the topic, I'm good now. I'm good now. If you don't mind, look at a neighbor and just tell him, neighbor, I'm good now. What that means, I might have gone through some things and the devil probably thought I was out for the count. But I just want to let somebody know that I'm good now. I'm good now. I may have gone down to the hollows of the sea, but the Lord brought me out. And because of that, I can say I'm good now. And if you're good now, give God praise in this house right now. I recall during my years in school and around the seventh grade, we began using these things called an ink pen. During some of the initial stages of using this ink pen, I found that you prefer to use a pencil because it would allow me to erase my mistakes. And if we're honest today, I'm probably sure that there are some who wish that they could have taken an eraser and used it on themselves when it came to some mistakes that they probably made in their lives. And I'm so glad that the pencil is more in line with how God judges and he loves us. All of our actions, whether good or bad, God stands forever ready to erase them and allow us to start all over again. And in looking around, I perceived that there could be some who might have been born saved and sanctified all the days of their life. But for the rest of us, We are thankful that God metaphorically handles us with a pencil and not a pen. Maybe you don't remember a pencil, but when they made the pencils, they could ever, you, when you use them, it was built in that it had an eraser on the tip of it, and that this was used for erasing the mistakes that we might have made. And for those like me, I'm also like that big pink eraser that I carry that around, because I made many of mistakes. And so I would just grab that pink eraser and just begin erasing and starting all over again. But I'm so glad that we have a God who stands in a position of being ready to erase all of our mistakes. So my brothers and sisters, you don't have to throw away the paper or the person who uses it. You can just flip it over to the other side or use that eraser to erase your errors and try it all over again. Church, if you're not thankful for anything else, we should be thankful when the Lord places us back on that right path, because this means that God has given you another chance and he's erasing your mistakes to start all over again. From a micro perspective, when we dive into the book of Jonah, my brothers and sisters, it can be summed up this way. Jonah messed up. God chastised Jonah. Jonah got it right. God forgave him, cleaned him up. This is necessary because disobedience with God leads to a dirty ending. But once God forgives, he also cleanses and he gives us another chance. And if we want to look at this from a macro perspective, my brothers and sisters, Israel was disobedient. Israel was chastised by God. Israel repented and God forgave them and cleaned them up. And God gave Israel another chance. And if we want to look at this thing, my brothers and sisters, from a personal perspective, we can say, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And because of this, I was disobedient towards God. God chastised me. I repented. God cleaned me up and he gave me another chance. And if we think about that, my brothers and sisters, there are some who can testify that this was their story several times, time and time again. But what's so good about God is that no matter the number of times we mess up, he's always there to forgive us and to clean us up. Can somebody say yes, Lord, in this house right now? As we look into this story, my brothers and sisters, as we peep into the life of Jonah, we find Jonah in an interesting position of prayer. The close of chapter 1 is the introduction of chapter 2. Jonah chapter 1 verse 17, the cause of Jonah chapter 2. Verse 17 says, after they threw Jonah overboard, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and he was there 3 days and three nights. That means all of chapter 2 has given us the turning point to Jonah's dilemma. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 17, everything that happened in Jonah chapter 2 happened in verse number 17. The Bible said the Lord had prepared. Let me say that again, my brothers and sisters, because I'm probably moving a little bit too fast, but this verse does not say that the Lord intended to prepare. It doesn't say that the Lord had thought about preparing. It doesn't say that the Lord was preparing. The scripture said the Lord had prepared. And when we think about that, my brothers and sisters, this right here is past perfect tense, which means that before Jonah ever was thrown overboard, God had already spoke to a great fish. And God's intent was to catch you before your actions caused you to drown. In other words, you messed up and was on your way to death because of your own actions. But God had already made a way to catch you and to save you before you drown. Can somebody give God praise in this house? God already had an answer and a way out, because your actions place you on a highway leading you to destruction. But God, how many are thankful to that but God? Because you don't know, your life might have been headed down a devil's highway. Your life may have been headed towards destruction, but God stepped in right on time. And not only did he step in right on time, but he turned that thing around. And now right now, when I'm looking around this church today, a lot of you are the example of a but God. Yeah, you messed up, but God. Yeah, you didn't go right, but God. Yeah, you should have gone to hell, but God. Yeah, his chastisement should have been upon you, but God. I'm a living example of but God. As a matter of fact, I might as well change my name. My name is but God. Yeah, when you look at me, I'm a living example of a but God. Yeah, I was headed down to hell. Yeah, I was living my own life. Yeah, I was living my best life. But God stepped in and said, you may want to change your life. You may want to listen to me, son, because the road that you're taking right now is leading you to a devil's hell. It's time for you to come on and follow me. Don't worry about trying to clean yourself up. I'll do the work myself. And so I'm a living example of a but God in this house today. And I give him thanks for that today. I guess my testimony. Yeah, I might have been, but God. Yeah, that might have been me, but God. Yeah, I know that might have been my past, but God. Yeah, I know those are things that you knew about me before, but God. And because of that, I'm no longer that person that I was before. I am a living example of a but God. And if you are a living example of a but God, give him praise in this house today. See, my brothers and sisters, when you get to a point where God orchestrated measures like a well to save you from your sins, this tells me that you were really messed up. You really pushed the envelope, my brothers and sisters. But I'm so glad that the songwriter says, if he has to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. For some, your story might not include a well that was used to save you. But regardless of what God used to save you, he still reached way down to save you. And I'm so glad today that Jesus saved me from my sins. I'm so glad today that Jesus didn't let my sins kill me. Even if they had to reach way down, he still did it. And it showed that God's love is still too deep. God's love is still too strong. God's word is still too encompassing. God's love is too powerful to not reach me where I was. And I give him praise today. And God didn't have to work it out because he had already worked it out. That I was going to have to come out of whatever I was going to because God sent something there right in time to keep me from falling into what I was going to fall into. And so I'm just thanking God today that he had already seen where I was headed and he had already prepared a way out of that situation. And when we think about this, my brothers and sisters, the Bible said that God had prepared a great fish. And as far as God is concerned, what makes God a provider is that he sees it before it ever happens. When we think about the term provisions, that means that God sees it before it happens. Provision means that he sees before it all unfolds. And this is why God is omniscient and omnipresent, because God's solution is always older than the problem. Let me say that again. God's solution, my brothers and sisters, is always older than the problem. God never works out the problem after the problem occurs. God never tries to figure out the solution after the problem happens. The problem is moving to catch up to the solution. And God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah in order to save him from drowning. This is what introduces us to the conditional and temporary response of Jonah chapter 2. Watch this. Verse 1 says, and then Jonah prayed. Jonah turned the intestines and the stomach of a whale into his altar. Sometimes, church, the worst place to be in is also the best place to pray in. It might stink down there, but I'm praying in this nasty and stinking situation. This is not where I need to be or want to be, but I'm turning a nasty situation into my prayer altar. So oftentimes, church, the worst place to be in is also the best place to pray in. This is an interesting place, my brothers and sisters, to pray in. And the scripture says, but Jonah prayed. Whatever nasty and stinking place you're in, you can turn it into your prayer altar. Paul and Silas were in the inner prison, but they prayed. But the key term is here, church, is not that they prayed, but the key term here is then. Then Jonah prayed. You and I have to ask this question because this is a critical turning point in Jonah's life. Because Jonah ended up doing what he said he would not do. When he got on that boat in chapter 1, this is a pluralistic church, a church boat, my brothers and sisters, and they told everybody to start calling calling on their God. And Jonah said, I'm not calling on God. I'm going to the bottom of this boat and I'm going to sleep. They woke up Jonah and said, hey, sir, what's wrong with you? Don't you see what's happening here? We're out here and we're about to drown. You need to start calling on your God. And Jonah was in an outright and deliberate rebellion and protest against God to the point that he said, I'm not even going to talk to God. But the verse 2 says, then Jonah, you might be asking, what changed in Jonah? What swung Jonah from protest to prayer? What shifted Jonah from insubordination to intercession? What changed in Jonah's life that made him go and do what he said he was not going to do? I'm so glad you asked. When we look at Jonah chapter 1 verse 3, he said, the Bible says he went down to Joppa. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 3, it says he went down to a ship. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 5, it says he went down to the size of the ship. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 5, it says he went to sleep, which means that he laid down. But in Jonah chapter 1 verse 15, says that they threw him overboard, which means that he went further down in the water. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 17, God had a fish to swallow him up, which means that he went down even further into the belly of a fish. Can I tell you this, church? If you're following the Bible and all of these quotations here, his life was going in one direction, which was down. This is because rebellion, church, has a way of sending you to an unexpected low. When Jonah woke up that morning and decided that he was going to protest God, he never thought in a million years, my brothers and sisters, that his protest would have him ending up in the belly of a fish. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to be careful, because a conscious disobedience can lead to an unconscious descent. Rebellion, my brothers and sisters, will take you lower than where you want to go. And I'm sure that nobody in their right mind said, today I'm going to go down in the belly of a whale. But when you rebel against God, it takes you to a low that you never wanted to go to. You recall, my brothers and sisters, in the Bible, where the boy in Luke chapter 5, when he walked away from his daddy's house, he never thought and imagine walking into a being in a pig pen in his future. So this tells me, church, because we rebel against God, it will take you to a low that you never thought you would go to in your life. Jonah never suspected that when I woke up today, by the end of this day, I'm going to be in the belly of a fish. Reason why he prayed, it's because his life had gone so low. It went to such an unexpected low that the low he was in forced him to pray to the God that he didn't want to deal with. But let me say this, my brothers and sisters, and I promise I do love you. I promise I love you. But some of you are not in church because you love God, but some of you are in church because you hit a low and you need God to lift you up. And when you get down so low, you don't have anywhere to look but up. And when you get so low, you can't look any lower. You have to force yourself way up and say, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Some of you are not in here tonight because God is good. Some of you are in here because life is life in you. And you have run out of resources. You have run out of options. And now you're saying, I want Jesus because I have hit rock bottom. You're not fooling anybody in here today. What brought you to church is because life got bad for you. And when you wouldn't come in here when it was good, life threw something your way that made you hit an unexpected low. But the Bible says, then Jonah prayed, because he's gone down to a low that he never expected to go to in his life. I'm of the belief, church, that Jonah went to a low that he presumed a prophet couldn't go to. He went to a low because God had to break his spiritual arrogance, because in Jonah's eyes, I'm God's prophet. I can't go this low. And while you're looking at Jonah with that disregard, my brothers and sisters, God has also allowed your life to go so low because you thought that saints can't go as low as you have gone. So we have to be careful, my brothers and sisters, when we put our attitude behind a collar or a cross or behind a title or a podium. Be careful, my brothers and sisters, how you put your attitude around a little church position. Be careful, my brothers and sisters, how you put your attitude around your little position, because you're something in church that you would have never been in the world. God has a way of humbling arrogant church people, just like he had has a way of humbling arrogant unchurched people. And so you find yourself, my brothers and sisters, in the belly of a whale. You find yourself in a place where you think prophets or God beloved cannot go. But the Bible says that pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. You can't afford to be arrogant, my brothers and sisters, because arrogance leads you to the only way, and that's down. But the Bible said, then Jonah prayed. This was a prayer, my brothers and sisters. We focus his thoughts and his actions, because the text says that he, when he prayed, he considered where it was when he got so low, and he had to look back to what he left. He says, while he's in the guts of this fish praying, he said that he is going to send up prayers to the holy temple. Now wait, my brothers and sisters, when I think about this Jonah, I've got to understand this better. There are no windows in this whale. He can't see because he's in the inside of a whale. But he's having church in his mind. If he's got church on his mind, then that's the presence of God's local location. Let me say this another way. The temple was the local address of the presence of God, which is the thing that he was running from. In chapter 1, they asked him, where was he going? And he said, I'm trying to run from the presence of God. But when he got down in the belly of a whale, then the thing that he was running from is the thing that he wanted to run to. Sometimes, church, the lowest point in your life is also your turning point for you to get back to God. And sometimes you have to get to that low point in order to turn around and get back to going after the God that you claim you had an attitude with. And here's what I found out about God, my brothers and sisters, and it's this here. God will let you be mad at him because he knows that sooner or later you're going to need him. And I guess when I think about this, my brothers and sisters, what I found out about God is God will let you be mad at him because he knows that sooner after a while, you're going to need him. You're going to be calling his name. We think about that. That's just like when we're younger and our parents will look at us and tell us, you can go on in that room which you have your little attitude if you want, but do it in that room because I know sooner or later you're going to be wanting something from me. And so when we think about this, my brothers and sisters, the same person you have an attitude with, you turn around and you need them. That's just how God is. It's not even worth your energy, my brothers and sisters, to be mad at God because he knows that one day you're going to need him. And so it's not even worth your energy trying to be mad with God. We might as well just stay on point with God. We might as well stay in right focus with God. And when we think about this prayer here that Jonah offered, it was a prayer of refocus. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but the best place you're in right now is that low place, because that low place is turning around to get you back to where God had called you to be. God has called you to get back to that place where you walked away from and get back to that place that you never thought that you would go to. So God is calling us right at that low point, and he's calling us, telling us it's time to get it back right. It's time for us to get back on course. It's time for us to quit being mad with God. When we think about this, my brothers and sisters, your low point is also your turning point, because it'll make you pray and go after the God that you claim you didn't want to pray to. Do I have any witnesses in here? It's not just a point of refocus, church, but it's a point of revival. It's a point of revival. Jonah is down there praying in the belly of this whale. And the Bible said that the Lord brought up his life from corruption. This is very interesting, church, because he said the Lord brought up my life, which suggested he saw himself dead. If the Lord brought up my life from corruption, that word in Hebrew means destruction. He literally saw himself dead, which is why he told them in chapter 1 to just throw me overboard, because I'm already dead in my eyes. See, church, when we think about this, the tragedy in life is being dead while you're still alive. This is the point in the passage where Jonah has to own that what he's in is his own fault. Because had you obeyed God when God told you to, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in right now. You will reach your turning point when you stop blaming other people for your fall. When you stop trying to blame everything else on somebody else that you should be accountable for yourself. That thing didn't happen because of them. It happened because of you. And for all of the deep people in here today, it wasn't the devil either. It was because of you and what you did. It was because of you and your actions. Don't blame that on the devil. That was you. You wanted to do it. You knew you didn't want supposed to do it. You knew you weren't supposed to go there. I know back in the day, Flip Wilson had a saying, the devil made me do it. But I'm here to tell you today, that's a lie. You did it on your own. Don't blame the devil. This is something you did on your own. And it happened because of you. And for all of you deep people in here, when we think about this, yeah, it wasn't the devil. But sometimes we just have to be real with ourselves. Yeah, I did it. I did it because I wanted to. Yeah, I did it because it looked good. Yeah, I did it because I wanted to be like everybody else. Jonah says that this was a time of revival because now I have to come to face to face with my own bad decisions. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who this can help today. But when we think about this, but when we look at chapter 1, God gave him the power to make a hard decision. But in chapter 2, God gave him the power to redeem a bad decision. You're in this fish because you consciously walked away from God's will for your life. And the fact that you're back in prayer to God and saying that God brought up your life means that it was revived because you saw yourself dead from your own decisions. But thanks be to God, because God knows how to resurrect you from your own mess. Thanks be to God, because God knows how to resurrect you from your bad decisions. Thanks be to God, because God knows how to resurrect you and bring you out of that pit that you brought yourself in. When we think about this, he'll bring your life back up, because Jonah had already been clear to the man of God that where I fell was in the depths of the sea. He gave this poetry about weeds being around his head, being at the depths of the sea in the mountain. He didn't know that because he's still in the belly of a whale, he's only given imaginary language to what he believes is around him outside of the whale. But while he's inside the whale, being inside the whale is preserving his life and resurrecting his life, because being outside of the whale was worse. I don't know. I don't even think about this. I don't know who I'm preaching to right now. But you have to get to a point where you stop complaining about where you're in and start thanking God for where you are now, because it could have been worse. Because outside of where you in right now is actually better than where you could be. And so sometimes it's time out for complaining about where we are, because if we think about it, it could have been worse. We think about this, it was a prayer of refocus. It was a prayer of revival. It was not only a prayer of revival, but it was a prayer of rejoicing. Why is it rejoicing? Because when we listen to what Jonah said, he said, I'm in this fish's belly, but since I'm in here, I'm going to give him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Jonah is not only having an altar in the well, but he's having praise and worship inside the well. He says, I'm going to give him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we think about that, that word thanksgiving in the Hebrew church, it means todah. It simply means to sing a song with extended hands. He's inside the guts of this well, and the Bible says that he got his hands lifting up, singing a song. Brothers and sisters, when we think about this in Jonah chapter 2, verses 2 through 9, there are at least 6 quotes from the book of Psalms. This means that the prayer wasn't just an internal position. It was the lyrics of music from the church's hymn books that when he was outside the well and was at church and remembered something happened in church that could sustain him in an unexpected low place. He was able to pull from the songs of the Lord's hymn book and lift himself up in the echolocation of this well. Whales, when we think about this, know how to sing all by themselves. They sing messages to each other through songs that could not be uttered. But Jonah says, since I'm in here, I'm going to give God praise. Well, my brothers and sisters, how do you give God praise in the belly of a whale? Anybody want to know how? It's the belly of a whale. That means that everything in it is supposed to break up. Everything that's in the belly of the whale is supposed to be devoured and destroyed and broken. But Jonah is in the belly of the whale and he's not broken. He still got his right mind. He can lift up his voice. He can lift up his hands and he can sing his song. Jonah says, I have to give God a thank you, because what I'm in should have broken me, but it didn't break me. And since I'm still here, I've got to give God glory. I need about 20 people who can testify today. I have a belly praise in this house. I'm in something, but it didn't break me. I'm in something, but it didn't kill me. I'm in something, but I can still raise my hands. I'm in something, but I can still praise God. I'm in something, but it didn't take my job. I'm in something, but it didn't take my life. I'm in something, but it didn't steal my joy. Where the people at who can testify, thank you, God, that I might have been in it, but you didn't allow it to break me. Thank you, God, I might have been in it, but you didn't allow it to take my life. Thank you, God, I might have been in it, but you didn't allow it to take me down. And since it hasn't broken me, I have to send up a praise of thanksgiving. Tell a neighbor, my brothers and sisters, I need to send up a praise of thanksgiving. To anybody can testify, I know where I was, I know what I did, and because of my actions, I should have gone down a long time ago. But even when I was down in the lowest of lows, God still preserved me. Even when I was down in the lowest of lows, God still covered me. Even when I was down in the lowest of lows, God still protected me. Why? Because he still had a purpose for your life. And if you believe that, give God praise in this house today. Because I should have been broken already. What I'm saying here is it was designed to kill me. It's designed to destroy me. But I'm still here in the midst of it all. See, you struggle, my brothers and sisters, to give God praise unless you have reasons to thank him. But Jonah says, I don't have a reason to thank him for what I'm in, but I thank him while I'm still in it. Let me say this again. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't thank him for all things, but you thank him in all things. Paul said, in all things give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to thank him, my brothers and sisters, again, because what started with disobedience, it ended in mercy. Let me say this again. What started in disobedience, it ended in mercy. Adam and Eve were disobedient, and what began in disobedience, God says, I could have killed you because I told you that this was fatal fruit. And because of this, what you did, you were supposed to die, but you walked out of this land and God covered them on their way out. Because what started in disobedience, it ended in mercy. Jacob decided to work against God's will and rebel against God's will and actually fight God. God said, I could have killed you. Instead, I let you walk away from a wrestling match with just a limp and a changed name. Because what started in disobedience, it ended in mercy. David said, I was in the showers of sheep of God, and I was in green pastures, but I walked in the valley of the shadow of death. I could have let you die down there, but my rod and my staff came and comforted him. Because what started in disobedience, it ended in mercy. Peter denied Jesus when he needed him the most, but after Jesus got up out of that grave, he came looking for Peter, and Peter became the first post-Pentecostal preacher. Because what began in disobedience, it ended in mercy. And it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because some of us have been disobedient to God, but he woke you up this morning. Do I have anybody in the day who can thank God because his mercy endures forever? Tell somebody, I got mercy on my life. I got mercy on my life. I've got mercy on my life. That's the reason why I'm still standing, because I got mercy on my life. That's the reason why I can sing today, because I got mercy on my life. That's the reason why I got joy today, because I got mercy on my life. That's the reason why I can shout today, because I got mercy on my life. That's the reason why I can be thank you, Lord, because I got mercy on my life. That's the reason why I can lift him up in praise, because I got mercy on my life. Is there anybody here today who's thankful for God, to God, that you have mercy on your life? As a matter of fact, when I think about this thing, God just put my mind on rewind, and it reminded me of a time when I should have died, not because of anything that I did, but his mercy covered me. And so I'll give him, think about this. When we think about this, I'm sure some of you, your life could flash back before you and think about a time when you could have died. It could have been an accident. It could have been something else. It could have been a fire, but God covered you, and God covered you because you had mercy upon your life. And because of that, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to give God praise in this house right now. Thank you for your mercy. thank you for your mercy. Yes, you did it. Yes, you should have died from what you did, but his mercy kept you. Yes, you were rebellious, and that rebellion led you to a very low place, but his mercy kept you. Yes, I allowed pride and arrogance to get the best of me, and I should have lost it all, but his mercy kept me. God's mercy kept me, and I'm glad that I'm here to tell about it today. And when we think about this, my brothers and sisters, this is what I found out of God, and this is this here. People will leave you based on what they heard about you, but God will stay with you based on what he knows about you. He knows you're crazy. He knows you ain't no good. He knows you're full of hell. He knows you're sinful. He knows you're rebellious. He knows you have that bad temper. And in spite of all this, he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Do I have anybody here tonight that can thank God today for his mercy? I have a thanksgiving on my lips because I'm a recipient of his mercy. Can I hear somebody that's thankful to God to give him praise in this house right now? Thank God that what you're in, it hasn't broken you. That thing that swallowed you up, it hasn't broken you. Is there anybody here that's got to thank you, Jesus? When we think about this, you don't have all the money, but you can thank Jesus anyway. You don't have everything you want, but you can give God a thank you anyway. You might have not have it all together, but you got to thank you, Jesus, with your hands lifted up, with a song in your mouth, while you're in the belly of the well. I'm not waiting for him to bring me out. I give him praise in while I'm still in it, because I will bless the Lord at all time, and his praises will continually be in my mouth. Is there anybody here that's thankful to God? Well, think about this. Can I tell you why you ought to thank him? Because Jonah is in a nasty place, having church to God, because God sent a fish to save a disobedient preacher from drowning, and he's in the guts of this well while praying and singing. You ready for this? When we think about this, my brothers and sisters, and the last verse of chapter says, and God spoke to the well and told the well, it's time to let him go. Let me say that again. God spoke to the whale and told the whale it's time to let him go. And the Bible said that the whale didn't just open his mouth and let Jonah out. The text says it vomited Jonah out. My brothers and sisters, when you figure out how to get back to God, even in your stinky places, God will make what's holding you sick of you. Let me say that again. When you figure out how to get your disobedient self back to God, things that are holding you back, God will make these things sick of you. You think you're sick of it, but actually it's sick of you. And vomiting means that you're coming out, and you're coming out quickly. Give somebody a high five and tell them quickly, quickly, quickly. This is going to be a suddenly way of escape, because what's holding me is about to get sick of me. I need somebody here to start praising God until your neighbor gets sick of you, until they start looking at you crazy. And when they look at you like they're sick of you, you can tell them, you don't know what I've been through and what got a hold of me. You don't know my story. I was down in the belly of a whale. And when I was down in the belly of a whale, God preserved my life. God didn't let that thing take me out. And so I got to give him praise in here today. I know it may be offending you that I'm giving God praise in here, but he's been too good to me for to keep that praise to myself. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. But we think about this, my brothers and sisters, that now that it's sick of me, I have to rejoice because my suddenly breakthrough, I have to rejoice because he's given me a suddenly escape. Depression, my brothers and sisters, is getting sick of you. Oppression is getting sick of you. That sickness is getting sick of you. Being broke is being sick of you. That battle is getting sick of you. Your enemies are getting sick of you. That problem is getting sick of you. Suppression is getting sick of you. And while these things are getting sick of you, you can keep on giving him glory. For all of you who read this text, my brothers and sisters, and you may be skeptical, you're saying to yourself, it's not possible for a man to stay 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale and still come out alive. I know that may be what some of you thinking, because you're smart and you got a little education, and you're saying to yourself, the acid and the guts from the whale should have burned him and should have evaporated him in the belly of the whale. The acid and the guts of the whale should have burned him and evaporated him immediately. And for all of you who are struggling to believe this story, I got one thing for you. And that is, if you don't believe it, Jesus did. When we think about it, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40, as Jonah stayed 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man stay 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And if Jonah can come out on the third day, my Jesus can come out on the third day too. Is there anybody here who can tell God, thank you for giving me a turning point and bringing me out? Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, you're coming out of this thing real fast. Because whatever's holding you, it's sick of you. It's sick of you. It can't hold you down any longer. Because it's sick of you, it has to release you. And it's going to release you suddenly. So anybody here that's ready to come out, and you're going to come out real fast, look at a neighbor and tell him, you're coming out of that thing real fast. Because when we think about this, my brothers and sisters, because the Bible shows that when you start praising him, he'll snatch you out. Have I got any witnesses in here tonight? As a matter of fact, your praise ought to be the result of you coming out. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed of the lay of the hand of the enemy. Tell a neighbor, my brothers and sisters, I'm being pushed out. I'm being pushed out, and since I'm out, I'm going to give God praise in this house. Because I'm not going to give him praise while I'm in it. When I get out of it, I'm going to give God praise even while I'm still in it. Because I can anticipate what God is about to do for me. But the Bible says that when this whale vomited him out, it vomited him on dry land. The Bible says that when the whale vomited him out, it vomited him out on dry land. Let me say this again. But if Jonah was in the belly of a whale, he went deep down into the whale. But when he came out higher than what he was in the water. Shake a neighbor's hand and tell a neighbor, when I come out this time, I'm coming out on higher ground. I'm coming out on higher ground, higher than what I was before. I'm coming out higher than where I started. I didn't have to work hard to get to this place. As a matter of fact, it was my praise that lifted me to higher heights. It was my praise that gave me a sudden release. I heard the writer say, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Place my feet on higher ground. Touch a neighbor and tell him, tonight we're going to higher ground. I said we're going higher tonight. We're going higher to a new level. Is there anybody here who's ready to go to a higher level in God? When you come out this time, you'll be on higher ground. I'm going to a new level in God. And when I get there this time, I won't mess it up. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm going to higher in my praise. Higher in my anointing. Higher in my worship. Higher in my prayer life. Higher in my dance. Higher in my warfare. Higher, my witness. Sound higher. Higher. The Bible says, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus went down in the hollows of the earth for 3 days. And he stayed there all 3 days. And we think about this. And one day on Sunday, he got up with all power in his hands. But before he rose up with all power in his hands, and just like he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be. But it was Jesus that raised Jonah from the belly of the whale. And it was Jesus that also raised himself up. And when we think about this, look at a neighbor and tell him, not I understand it, I'm good now. I'm good now, because God has lifted me up, and instead of letting what killed, let the whale kill me, it took me to a higher ground. Because what was meant to kill me got sick of me. What was meant to hold me down got sick of me. And because of God has taken me to a higher ground, I'll open my mouth and I'll told our God. Told our means, I'll sing a song with my hands lifted up. If my hands are up, then we are free to praise God.
God. And when my hands are lifted up, it's a sign that I'm alive and I'm not dead. The Bible says, let everything that had breath praise God. If you have breath in here, then praise God because he lifted you up. If you have breath, then praise God because he made a way for you. If you have breath, then praise God because it's his air that you're breathing. I'm good now because what should have killed me bottomed me out. I'm good now because God has given me a second chance. I'm good now because God has taken me and he's placed me on higher ground. I'm good now because I see what God is doing, and it wasn't meant to kill me, but only to take me higher. I'm good now because I have a better vision. I'm good now because when he threw me overboard, I was as good as dead, but God saved me. I'm good now because I see whom the Lord set free is free indeed. I'm good now because I should have died, but he let me live. I'm good now because when I was alone, he reminded me that I can still praise him. I'm good now because now I learned that my prayer and my praise is the best weapon I can use while I'm in my lowest of lows. I'm good now because since the Lord spared my life, I know that he still has a work for me to do. I'm good now because when the enemy came in like a flood, it was the Lord that lifted up a standard. I'm good now because if I didn't know it before, I know now that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm good now because I've learned that the same God that never gave up on me in my rebellion is the same God that's with me now. I'm good now. If you've ever been brought back from a low place, then give God praise in this house right now. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing me out. Don't let anybody, my brother and sister, steal your praise, because you know that God has brought you out of it. As far as me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. You brought me out and you placed me on higher ground. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. You touch a neighbor and tell him, I'm good now. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost working on the inside. The Holy Ghost power will give you the power to do what you can't do. I have a praise. I have to praise him because I believe that if I praise him, somebody else is going to come out of the belly. Somebody else is coming out of this low place. When I praise him, it's my time to praise him, because I'm praising him for somebody else to come out of that belly, come out of that low place in their life. If you don't mind, grab a neighbor by the hand. It's time to go to work and tell him, neighbor, this praise is for you. And as a matter of fact, when I praise him, you coming out quickly. Tell a neighbor, quickly, quickly, quickly. You're coming out quickly. You're coming out quickly. And if you believe that, stand on your feet and shout quickly, quickly, quickly. You're coming out of that thing quickly, quickly. The Lord has made a way for you to come out, and you're coming out quickly. And if you believe that, give God praise in this house right now, quickly. Do I have anybody that has a quickly praise in this house right now? Yeah, I should have been down. Yeah, I should have been down. I should have died when I was in my lowest of lows. But God saved me, and he did it quickly. And because of that, I've got a quickly praise. Yeah, he quickly pulled me out. Yeah, he quickly rescued my life. Yeah, he quickly gave me a new song. Yes, he quickly gave me a new dance. Yes, he quickly gave me a new name. Yes, he quickly gave me a new witness. And because of that, I gotta give God praise in this house today. Give God praise in this house today. Quickly, 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 quickly. Quickly, 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 get quickly, quickly, quickly. He's changing your life around quickly. He's giving you a new song quickly. He's giving you a new dance quickly. He's bringing you out from the belly of the whale quickly. The Lord is rescuing you quickly, quickly. If you believe that, give God praise in this house quickly. Quickly. Tell a neighbor, I gotta quickly praise right now because I know what I've been through. And I know that had it not been for the Lord that was on my side, I don't know where I would be. And because of that, I've got to quickly praise for God, because it was quickly that he rescued me. As a matter of fact, before I could even turn around, the Lord turned it around for me. And because of that, I've got to quickly praise. I've got to quickly praise. As a matter of fact, when I think about what God did for me, I can just jump up instantly on my feet and start praising him and start dancing and start shouting, because I'm a recipient of a quickly blessing. Because when the Lord moved, he brought me out and he did it quickly. Give God praise again in this house. Quickly. 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 Quickly.